Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the First Samuel Audio Devotional Podcast. I am excited today because I am with some incredible guys. They're all college students, and they're going to help us do our audio devotional today. We're going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 19, and we'll remind us of what's going on there in a second. But I want to introduce these guys to you, or let them introduce themselves. And so we'll start with Max. Max, give us a little lowdown on who you are.
Yeah, so I'm Max Kaburski. I go to the University of Alabama. I'm a sophomore there, and I study finance.
Well, all right, let's go on now to Brendan. Brendan, fill us in a little bit who you are.
My name is Brendan Vandermeer. I go to Michigan State University. I'm a senior here studying supply chain management.
That's great. You're also doing some track stuff?
Yep, student athlete on the track and field team as a thrower.
Let's hit up another Sparty. Ethan.
Yeah, I'm Ethan Jam. I'm a senior here at Michigan State, and I'm currently a civil engineering major. So
thanks, Ethan. And finally, last but not least, Jack.
Yeah, good to see you save the best for last, Steve. So my name is Jack Kaburski. I'm an econ major at the University of Michigan, and I'm a senior this year.
It's good seeing you guys. I'm going to read 1 Samuel chapter 19. Before I do, let me just remind us of where we're at. Saul is king. He's struggling. He's got a lot of fear. David is gaining popularity. He's killed Goliath, and he's getting a lot more attention than Saul. Saul's insecure. He's struggling with this, sees David as a threat. And now Saul is trying to kill David. So here we go. I'm going to read 1 Samuel chapter 19. Saul now urged his servants and his son Jonathan to assassinate David, but Jonathan, because of his strong affection for David, told him what his father was planning. Tomorrow morning, he warned him, you have to find a hiding place out in the fields, and I'll ask my father to go out there with me, and I'll talk to him about you. Then I'll tell you everything I can find out. The next morning, Jonathan spoke with his father about David, saying many good things about him. The king must not sin against his servant David, Jonathan said. He's never done anything to harm you. He's always helped you in any way he could. Have you forgotten about the time he risked his life to kill the Philistine giant and how the Lord brought a great victory to all of Israel as a result? You were certainly happy about it then. Why should you murder an innocent man like David? There's no reason for it at all. So Saul listened to Jonathan, and he vowed, as surely as the Lord lives, David will not be killed. Afterward, Jonathan called David and told him what happened. Then he brought David to Saul, and David served in the court as before. War broke out again after that, and David led his troops against the Philistines, and he attacked them with such a fury that they all ran away. But one day, when Saul was sitting at home with a spear in hand, a tormenting spirit from the Lord suddenly came upon him again. And as David played his harp, Saul hurled his spear at David. But David dodged out of the way, leaving the spear stuck in the wall. He fled and escaped into the night. Then Saul sent troops to watch David's house. They were told to kill David when he came out the next morning. But Michal, David's wife, warned him, if you don't escape tonight, you will be dead by morning. So she helped him climb out through a window, and he fled and escaped. Then she took an idol and put it in his bed, covered it with blankets, and put a cushion of goat's hair at its head. When the troops came to arrest David, she told them he was sick and couldn't get out of bed. But Saul sent the troops back to get David. He ordered, bring him to me in his bed so I can kill him. But when they came to carry David out, they discovered that it was only an idol in the bed with a cushion of goat's hair at its head. Why have you betrayed me like this and let my enemy escape? Saul demanded of Michal. I had to, Michal replied. He threatened to kill me if I didn't help him. So David escaped and went to Ramah to see Samuel, and he told him all that Saul had done to him. Then Samuel took David with him to live at Naoth. When the report reached Saul that David was at Naoth in Ramah, he sent troops to capture him. But when they arrived and saw Samuel leading a group of prophets who were prophesying, the Spirit of God came upon Saul's men, and they began to prophesy. When Saul heard what had happened, he sent other troops, but they too prophesied. The same thing happened a third time. Finally, Saul himself went to Ramah and arrived at the great well in Sekou. Where are Samuel and David? He demanded. They are at Naoth in Ramah, someone told him. But on the way to Naoth in Ramah, the Spirit of God came even upon Saul, and he began too to prophesy all the way to Naoth. He tore off his clothes and laid naked on the ground all day and all night, prophesying in the presence of Samuel. The people who were watching exclaimed, what, is even Saul a prophet? So Let's talk real quick about this story. What we want to do is ask some questions. What in this story kind of caught your attention as far as what did you learn about God from this story? What did you learn about the Spirit or God from this story?
One thing that I kind of thought throughout the story was just if God has a plan for you, no obstacle is going to get in the way. And you can see that here when David is being protected by him. And there's people that are helping David carry out God's plan and helping escape Saul.
That's really cool. That's a great, great point. Anyone else? What do you learn about God or the Spirit from this?
I think just to bounce off that idea, like, I mean, it's pretty similar, but it's also like whatever God has in store for you, like, won't miss you. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of like the biggest thing that I took away from this is like, even though it looks like kind of like the odds are stacked against David with Saul and his army, it's still like, okay, God has his hand over David. So,
yeah, I think kind of going off of what Jack said, it's just somewhat represents God's plan, even when it seems like there's not one to some people, that in the end there is. And maybe hindsight's the best vision sometimes.
Yeah, that's good. So, you guys, three of you are seniors about to kind of enter out into the big world. How does that story of God having a plan, protecting, guiding, being present, and, you know, even that hindsight looking back, that kind of good news for that, how does that help you as a senior getting ready to graduate and head out?
I think for myself, I mean, Ethan and I talked about this, funny enough, I think it was last night. We talked about just kind of looking forward, like I'm coming back to West Michigan. So like I'm in a familiar spot, but I think the biggest concern that both Ethan and I have, as well as Brendan, is just like a lot of our friends that we know are kind of moving on into different aspects of life. And I think the biggest thing for us is just like allowing God to take control of, I guess, kind of like our social life, like looking forward, or just like of individuals, because we don't know, we can't see right of what our future holds. A little bit scary to kind of look forward when you don't have anything visibly like looking forward to in the future, kind of from like a people perspective. So,
right. So it's like you're driving that car in a real dark road, right? And the headlights only go so far. It's like
exactly
coming up around the bend. It's exciting, but at the same time, yeah, it can be have some anxiety or some questions about it. So yeah, that's a good insight. And I love, Ethan, what you said, like being able to look back on your life and see how God has been faithful through that time. Brendan, how about for you, like anything from this story when you know, we talked a little bit about the way God is, but anything about people, anything that you learn about maybe yourself or just people in general and how we handle things from this story?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, like looking at David and kind of understanding, you know, how he's being persecuted so often by Saul and his men, and just being able to see his way out and the Lord's hand was over that all, and kind of reflecting on my life, you know, when this times of, you know, persecution, when, you know, the enemy's trying to tell me something, where it's, you know, an area of trials and tribulations where you're constantly beat down, and being able to see David's story and reflect on that he was literally, you know, sought after to be killed by these men. And for me, it's in my life, you know, it's like, man, I just failed this test, you know, practice didn't go the way I wanted to, you know, these little things in life. Yeah, David being sought after to be killed, and yet the Lord's hand was over it all. And eventually all these men were sought after and they prophesied in his name, and being able to look at that and see the outcome of this story and recognize, man, the trials and tribulations that I go through, you know, are nothing compared to what David's going through. And what does that tell me about God? You know, that his hand is over it all and that he will provide me peace at the end of the day. So even though in my situation right now that I might see trials and tribulations, that whatever I'm going through in comparison to David's story is nothing there, but the Lord is still faithful. He still will provide a way out for me and for myself in these situations.
Thanks for sharing that. Anyone else have something that they kind of take away from people?
One thing I kind of take out of it is it seems like in this where Saul is kind of being the leader and there's quite a bit of followers, it's not always where there's the most people isn't always the right way. Now, there's people obviously helping David and helping him get out of this situation, but a lot of times the loudest people aren't the best people to be.
Yeah, that's good. That's a really good insight. Anyone else? Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool to, you know, look at the end of the story and recognize, you know, when Saul sends these men to find David, you look at the story and it's like he constantly sends more men and more men, and they become prophecies, right? They lift up the name of the Lord. And it's cool to see that transformation and be like, man, there's people in my life where I look at them and, you know, it's hard to admit, right? But you're judging them because of what they've done, you know. But you see this transformation of Saul's men being able to prophesy. So the Lord can work in so many different ways. And we've seen this transformation in the story, being able to look at people who persecute me in a way to forgive them and to be able to understand that the Lord can do miraculous things and transition them and be able to use those to be the hands and feet of his kingdom. And from my aspect, being able to understand that he can do that and put my trust and faith in him, that he can be able to do that power over people who persecute me. So I think that's just kind of cool to see at the end of the story.
That's really good. Something you learn about people is that people can have actual experiences with God and his spirit, you know, which makes me desire to want to experience God and his presence more in my own life. So, yeah, Max, how about you? Anything from the story, anything else from the story grab your attention?
I guess for me with the people part, it's about who you kind of surround yourself with. And it makes it clear here that David is surrounded by people who care and love for him, as well as God has provided those people in his life. And I guess I see that a lot in just today's world where people aren't surrounded by great friends or, you know, troubles with parents and stuff. You can see them kind of lose themselves. But here, David, even in this of trying to get killed, he still has his path, he still has his way, and he's still going to get to that destination that God has for him.
It's really good. So when we think about this story now, for you, any kind of final thought, challenge maybe for those of us listening, or maybe in your own life, like here's kind of a little takeaway point for me or a little encouragement.
You know, there's always going to be light at the tunnel, and that God pushes you through these challenges to help strengthen your faith.
I love that. I mean, it's a very hopeful thing to say. I might not be able to see what's ahead, but I know God's ahead already and he's holding my hand through it all. So that's good. I love that.
I think it's just, you know, it's interesting to look at, you know, like I spoke before, like trials and tribulations in those moments where it's just like, man, like what else can go wrong, you know, and being able to look at David and, you know, how he's constantly persecuted by these people and being able to look at that and take a note from, you know, 1 Samuel 19 and recognize that it's like, you know, you're in those situations where it's like, man, what else could go wrong? Or yeah, that's just my luck. You know, you feel like you're constantly being persecuted. Things aren't going the way that you want it to be. And knowing that God's hand is over all and, you know, that he offers a way out. I think it's just so special. And, it, you know, it could be peaceful, you know, being able to rely on that and look at that story. Even though my trials and tribulations right now, you know, I'm struggling, but he offers a way out. I think that's just so cool being able to recognize that.
Thanks for sharing that.
I think for me, the big thing, kind of what Max and Jack were saying, and with us three graduating this year, there's kind of a big reset coming up. And Max was kind of saying that it's about who you surround yourself with. That's what I kind of got out of the message, is that I have the chance to surround myself with good people, and making that choice will bring me closer to God. And in the end, might make some of the trials and tribulations a little bit easier to recognize that God is with me.
That's great. Yeah, every David needs like a Jonathan friend, right? Who's going to have your back. All right, Jack, how about you?
I mean, I just kind of got out of it. Like what Max and Brennan were saying is like, I mean, Jesus is in control of your life. He's your Uber driver. Like he's going to lead you to the right destination, even when you don't know what that destination is. So
Jesus as an Uber driver. The good thing about that is Jesus already paid your fare. For you.
Yeah.
And you don't.
And no offense, Steve. It's not you. It's not you driving around.
Yeah. I'd rather be your Uber driver. Just tip well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tip Jesus well. That's a whole nother message for another time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, Jack, man, would you pray for us?
Yeah, God, I just want to say thank you for allowing this group to get together and allowing everyone who's listening to this podcast to hear this message out of 1 Samuel. Lord, I really hope that this message reaches more people than what originally was intended to be. So, God, I just hope that someone relates to this message and it feels like we're speaking to them directly, God. And I just pray for the rest of us to carry on with this week and have a blessed week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys.